Hey, good morning, folks. It's Pastor Roy, Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful morning. We're not actually getting started just yet. Like I say, I usually try to go on just a few minutes early. That way, it puts out the word by way of Facebook that Central Baptist Church has gone live. That gets to get connected to us. Now, I do know that there's also probably folks who are going to be waiting around until 10:45. So we're going to give them just a few minutes to arrive, and then we'll get things started at 10:45. I do want to just mention that the reason that we're doing live today rather than in person at the church is simply because of the conditions and situations, number one, at the church. There's areas around our church, particularly around the doors at the back that are used quite often, that you can tell, I'm looking out right now, there's still snow all over the place, and it hasn't had the chance for the sun to come up and burn that off. And even in the places that it has, there's snow out there today. So we wanted everybody to be as safe as possible. And once again, people within our church family are being plagued by the COVID, more so now than actually when we were at what they considered to be the height of the situation in 2020. So we wanted to give it that extra week and to not have to put themselves in jeopardy or in danger. And like I say, not exactly the most ideal way to do church. I always prefer to be able to do it in person. But I'm grateful for the alternatives that that we have going to today to be able to do this. Like I say, it's something new for us. Pre-pandemic, we didn't have the opportunity to actually do these things. I'll mention these again. I'm going to go ahead and just throw out a couple of announcements real quick. But I'll mention them again at the end. But as always, we want to keep the McDonald family in our prayers. Jimmy lost his dad. Our loss is heaven's gain, but nonetheless, that doesn't mean we don't miss him. So we want to continue to lift dad, who went on to be with the Lord. They'll be doing his services this week, private family service, and then they're going to try to do a memorial service a bit later on. So just do keep that family in your prayers. Also, since our schedule has changed, Awana is actually going to start on February the 6th. We've made a change on that. That's a new change. We're going to try to get through this month, and then February the 6th is when we did push our church conference out. Last week, we pushed it to this week. This week, we're pushing it out to next week. So on the 30th, we should have our monthly business meeting that we call church conference right after the evening worship service. So we also want to continue to remember those that are battling COVID right now. We're actually seeing not just COVID, but we're actually seeing some what I'm calling regular sick these days. Folks that have had cold, allergies, the flu. So we want to continue to lift those folks up in our prayers as we consider them. This morning. If you don't have your Bible, I do want to encourage you to get that. It's just now hit 10:45, so we should be having our crew that will join us tuning in here. Got to figure out which switch to push, what button to tap, and all these kind of things to be able to make it work, and I'm not exactly the best at doing that. Again, I'm grateful to have people around me that know how to do those type things. Grateful for our crew that we normally have in our what we call the Central Baptist Church studio, which is Don and Wesley. They're usually up there, and then we usually have Ernie and Tim over in the sanctuary. Wednesday filmer, the one that helps me with my filming, and that's Blake. He's working our live stuff today. And as always, we have Dr. John Cazito has joined us. He interacts with our online audience. And again, if you get a chance, say hello to him. I want you to do something a little bit different. You're going to understand why this morning. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Genesis chapter 3. That's Genesis chapter 3. Now, as I said before, if you're interacting, if you've got your cell phone, your computer, your tablet, whatever, go down there and say a hearty good morning to everyone. Let Dr. Cazito. But I also want you to do something else as well. I want you to let us and Doc Cazito know where you are. That's one of the big theme questions for today that we're going to look at in Scripture. But where are you? Let him know where you're tuning in from. You know, whether it's local to Oak Ridge, whether it's Pleasant Garden, whether it's Hinton, West Virginia, wherever it may be. Just go on there and say, you know, I'm watching from, and put that place. So the big question is, where are you? That's one of the things that we want to ponder today. I'm going to go ahead as we begin today. And once again, we're going to be looking at God's Word in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, again, we just want to thank you for life and for another day, another opportunity to serve you. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to have a roof over our head when it's cold and snowy like this. We're thankful for the heat that's in the house and the food that's on the table and the coffee that's in the cup. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be able to. It's not exactly the way we prefer to gather. We're grateful for the opportunity when we don't have any other way. So right now, we just pray that you will bless our time as we gather around your word. Speak to our hearts, draw us close to you, and Lord, use your messenger to lift you up today. And Father, we just pray that you'll just do some incredible things in our lives and in our church and in our families and in so many ways. So Lord, bless our time as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I said, I'm over at the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the passage that we're going to be looking at today. It's a very familiar passage. Even folks who may not have spent very much of their life in or around church things, this is the passage of the story of Adam and Eve. This is the time when, you know, God had created the earth, the fullness thereof. He had created all the animals. He created mankind. He created woman. And he had given them this incredible place to live. I can only imagine what the Garden of Eden must have been like. So God had given them this most perfect place. Now, you have to keep in mind that at that particular point, there was no such thing as sin. Sin had not entered the world yet. There was no death. There was no sorrow. There were just so many different things. It was a perfect paradise. Let's just put it in those type terms. It was just exactly what, beyond anything that you and I could have ever imagined. And God gave Adam and Eve one specific instruction. He said, "Yeah, I'm providing for you. There's plenty of food around here. There were fruit bearing trees. There was just anything you could ever imagine to sustain their life." And God told them, he said, of all these trees in the garden, you can freely partake except for one. There's one tree that you are not to partake of. And that is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That Adam and Eve messed that up because of everything that was in there. Just one tree, God said, don't mess with that because that's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, as we know, and particularly in the verses leading up to the passage that we're going to look at today, Satan, by way of a serpent, tempted Eve. Went into her presence and was just so subtle and so coy with how he did that. And he goes, "Oh, you can partake of any of these trees. Yeah, all this is yours." And Eve was like, "Well," and by the way, I'm paraphrasing, but Eve's like, "Well, yeah, we can partake of any of these trees. Well, except for one. There's just one over there that we're not supposed to partake of. God told us not to mess with that." And flippancy, as he would say, "Oh, yeah, well, I can tell you why God doesn't want you to mess with that tree. You see, the thing about it is, if you partake of that tree, then you will be like God." That was what he said. He said, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, folks, that was a true statement. But the thing that was the real kicker there was that God did not ever intend for man to know evil. You know, it was supposed to all be. And well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, God's not being fair. So what she did was she partook of the fruit. You know, she encouraged Adam to do so with her. And then the next thing you knew, they found themselves in a predicament. Now, that's what I wanted to pick up. Remember a minute ago, I asked you to go ahead and put in the live feed to make the comment and tell us and Dr. Cazito where you are. You know, where are you? Now, chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with me. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. And it reads like this. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Did you get that? Where are you? Verse 10, so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Let's just stop right there. Let's ask God to honor His word in our lives. Father, we just pray You would speak to us clearly, Father, that You would pose to us today the same question that You posed to both Adam and Eve in the garden. And Lord, You ask us, "Where are we?" May we look at that, Lord, through spiritual lens and through spiritual eyes. And again, Father, today, I pray that this would be the day that You would draw Your children close to You. I pray this would be the day that if there's one that doesn't know You, that today would be the day they would accept You, that there would truly be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that one soul. Lord, we look so forward to the opportunity to grow closer to You and to serve You. And so, Lord, we just right now ask that You would be with our time and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see as we begin to get into these passages, this is when they had pretended everything changed. You know, they realized before they didn't have any problem with the fact of what their appearance was. They weren't naked. And so after not listening to God, Adam and Eve found themselves in a terrible predicament. Now today, there are those who who find themselves in terrible predicaments. You have found yourself in a terrible predicament, whether it's spiritually, whether with job, with family, but you are just in a predicament, and you just don't know what it's going to be like. A lot of folks are in spiritual dilemma right now. You know, this pandemic has not helped that one single bit. You know, folks that have essentially not been able to get, they haven't been around the Word of God. They haven't disciplined themselves enough to be in the Word of God, to feed themselves on the Word. I'll just say this, I'm probably going to, before long, approach this situation, but there's this term that's going around called deconstruction of spirituality. And yeah, that's one of those things where when you think about it, it's as awful as it sounds. But people who are saying they're deconstructing their faith to the point where they're no longer believers. And this is happening with folks that are, I'm talking about pretty heavy hitters in Christianity, leaders, people who are heads of bands and different things, Christian bands, constructing their spirituality. Man, last time I checked, it was about constructing spirituality. But at any rate, that's another sermon for another day. But Adam and Eve find themselves in a predicament. You know, they've messed up. They've done wrong. And all of a sudden, just like that, they realized that, you know, sin had entered into the world. So let's look at what their reactions were, and let's consider what our reactions are when the Lord points out to us our predicament. Okay, what was Adam and Eve's first reaction that we see from the Word? Their first reaction was to cover up rather than to fess up. Yeah, all of a sudden they looked around and they said, man, we don't have any clothes on. We need to do something about that, you know. So it the word tells us that they went out and they were covering themselves, you know, with the fig leaves, okay? Yeah, fig leaf of sin. It was just something that was designed to cover it up. And so many of us today, when we mess up, when the Lord calls us on the sin or the predicament that we're in, when we have messed up, usually the first thing that we try to do is the same thing that Adam and Eve did, and we try to cover it up. You know, we try to get the fig leaves of life to cover up the sin that is going on. We don't want anybody else to see. We don't want anybody else to know that we're not perfect. And by the way, folks, last time I looked at it, nobody is perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We are going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. We can be covered with the blood of the Lamb. We can be saved, but that doesn't mean that we're perfect from there on out. We all have issues. We all have predicaments that we are in. And with the fact that nobody's perfect, we need to understand the error of our way. It's not about trying to cover it up in the way that Adam and Eve did. Because let me make you the promise. You will never cover up the sin in your life in the same way that Adam and Eve never could cover up the fact that they realized at that particular point that they were naked. Now, I do want to call your attention to a particular verse, which is verse 11, because I think this is very telling. This will be worth another message someday. But verse 11 said this. We'll actually go to verse 10 because that's what leads into it. But verse 10 said, "So he said, I heard you." This is Adam. "I heard your voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now, verse 11 is very telling because this is God answering Adam, and he says, verse 11, and he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that?" Well, we know who told him that. Obviously it was Satan. It was Satan who had baited Adam and Eve to the edge of disaster. And then when they went over, pointed an accusing finger at them in the same way that Satan does that today. You know, there are people today, maybe even you, as you're tuned in today, that Satan is standing in accusation against you because you have messed up. Are you going to believe? Are you going to believe in the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace of God? Or are you going to allow Satan to continue to help you try to push a bad position, to help you try to cover up what was the sin that was going on in your life, you know? Listen, covering it up is not going to help by any stretch of the imagination. So what they did was they got, Adam and Eve got fig leaves to try to cover up their nakedness and sin. And we often attempt a quick, superficial fix, you know? Well, maybe if people don't know, we'll try to hide it. If people don't know what's going on, then I'll be fine. Yet listen, folks, you're not going to fool God. God knows. Remember, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and when God began to walk through the garden, and he called out, and he said, "Where are you?" God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. Yeah, and in fact, think about it. He was in close proximity when he said that to him to start with. So if you're trying to cover something up, God knows exactly what it is. He was there when it took place. He was there when it happened, and he is convicting your heart to surrender and find some fig leaves today. God wants you to confess that before him so that it can be a bygone situation or circumstance within your life. Because when God forgives, his forgiveness is complete. His forgiveness is full. Now, that doesn't mean that Satan is not going to try to hold that sin against you. One of the biggest dangers in the Christian life today is Satan is still pushing you to a point where he's wanting you to remember and feel guilty over sins that God has already forgiven you of. Listen, if you've gone to the Lord and you have repented, that means you've turned around, done 180 degrees before the Father, and he has forgiven you. The Word tells us he throws it as far as the east is from the west, into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Listen, do not allow Satan to continue to bring up things in your life that God has already forgiven you of. Because you know what? He's great at trying to do that in our lives. So instead of being like Adam and Eve, instead of trying to grab something to cover up the sin. It's about confessing that sin to the Father. So that's the first thing that Adam and Eve did. They decided, their first reaction was to cover up instead of fessing up as to what took place. So what was the what was their next reaction? You know, we've seen that they tried to cover things up. Adam and Eve's second response was to avoid God. You know, are we not great at doing that? If there's something we don't want to deal with in our society today, what do? We try to avoid it. If there are certain people in our lives, I mean, you've done that in the grocery store or in Walmart somewhere, and you've seen somebody and you just really don't want to have to face them, and you've ducked down an aisle, you've turned, you've looked at the caller ID on the telephone and said, oh man, that's the boss, I don't want to talk to them today because I know what's coming. So you try to essentially avoid contact with the situation. Now folks, people do that every day when it comes down to their spiritual life. See, I want you to make the spiritual parallels out of this passage today of what Adam and Eve did and then what you and I tend to do in our lives every day. Yeah, so what happens is if when we don't face the situation, well, if I just look the other way, maybe this whole thing will go away. Or if I duck or dodge God, maybe I won't have to deal with this issue. Yeah, once again, I want to remind you that you're never going to duck God. I want to remind you that there's no place that you can go that God is not going to be there. The Holy Spirit is going to be convicting your life until you get this thing straight, until you make it right. So don't think that you can avoid God. I don't know why we do that, but for some odd reason, I think it's just automatic because that's how we do things in life. We think, well, we'll just ignore God and this will go away. Folks, let me make you the promise. Ignoring God is not going to make your situation go away. You see, Adam and Eve knew that they were guilty of disobeying, but instead of coming to God and instead of broken relationship, what they did was hid from Him. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Now, when we're looking at this, we sit back and think, well, He's God. That's the most silly thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what? People do that every day. It is silly because you're not gonna escape God, and ignoring Him is not gonna help it. You know, we tend to do the same thing when we sin and break fellowship. Now, I want to just put one key in there. That doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. Breaking fellowship with God and losing your salvation are two. You can break the fellowship with God and still not lose salvation. Sometimes God puts us in the corner. Sometimes God has to put us in time out. Sometimes God has to say, whoop, stop. You know, hold on. You need to get some things straightened out with me before we go forward. It's the same way that we do, or the same way good parents do when they're raising their children. There's discipline that is involved. So when we sin and when we break fellowship with the Lord, He is desiring for us to come back into His will. He is desiring for us to come to Him, to confess our sin and to repair that broken fellowship. Okay, have you ever found yourself avoiding your prayer time? Have you ever read the scriptures? Have you ever found yourself avoiding attending the house of the Lord? I see it all the time. As a pastor, there are people who maybe have gone down the road of sin, and it's something that's public. It's something that people know about. One of the first things that they do is exactly opposite of what they should do. You know what they do? They won't show up in church. They won't show up in Sunday school. They avoid all the Christian people that they know in their lives. And the reason why is because of the guilt that they're carrying with them. That's one reason. Now, the other reason is a yet another message for another day, is because most of the time Christian people do not treat those that have fallen in sin in a biblical manner. I hate to have to say it that way, but that's the truth. As we wind up having a whispering campaign about them, or we talk about them, and I say this many, many times, too many times what we do is we gossip under the auspice of a prayer request. Well, let's remember old Johnny. By the way, if you're Johnny, that's not you. But yeah, let's just remember Johnny because Johnny did A, B, or C. And then, of course, the people listening are going, Johnny did that? So what we're basically doing is gossiping under the auspice of a prayer request. And then if Johnny does decide to show back up in the house of the Lord, what we do is we act like they've got leprosy in the days of the Bible. People don't talk to them. Now, I know some folks will say, well, I just really don't know how to act or react. Let me give you a tip on that. Just love those people. Yeah, that's what God has called us to do. I know that from even my position as a pastor before, I've been talked about because I loved on that person, because I wanted to see them restore the fellowship with the Lord. And that's what God has called us to do. Folks, don't be like the world. Don't turn your back on those. By the way, that's one of the things that gives God and the church a bad name is when we don't function in the way the scripture tells us that we should. Rather than embracing that brother or sister that's taken in a fall, what we do is ostracize them. We should be there to pick them up and to carry them when the brother has stumbled or fallen and carry them through to that time of restoration. But yet we're often too busy worrying about what somebody's going to say because we are dealing with that person or talking with that person. Folks, listen, I'm what I should do rather than what everybody else thinks. And I think that in our society today, we need to be more to that point. What does God tell us to do in any given circumstance or situation? We're supposed to love those that have fallen. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not correction that comes along the way. But listen, that correction comes from God, not from us. So let's be the type of people who are different, even than the majority of the Christian community today. Let's love those who have fallen as they repent. That's a key word. As they repent, let's love on those people who have been taken in a fall. So Adam and Eve's second reaction was to avoid God. Listen, are you avoiding God today? Now, are you in the midst of a situation and you're trying to cover it up? You're trying to hide it like the first thing Adam and Eve did? Are you reacting in the second way that Adam and Eve did? Are you trying to avoid God in the middle of your circumstance and situation? Listen, God wants to meet you right where you are today, that you might be able to put this situation, this dilemma, this circumstance, this broken fellowship behind you. That's what God is wanting to happen today. And you can walk away today, even from this broadcast, with the peace in your heart that your fellowship has been restored with God. Wouldn't you like that? Isn't that better than trying to hide, cover? That was their second reaction. Now let's look at their third reaction. The third reaction was to try to avoid personal responsibility. Yeah, it's so funny because in this particular era of 2022, it just seems like that everybody is perfect, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, everybody just seems to be so perfect. Nobody ever makes a mistake, including ourselves. You know, we feel like it's going to be bad if we make a mistake. Now, a moment ago, I said nobody's perfect. Not you, not me. The only perfect one was Jesus, and he is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, okay? So the third reaction was to try to avoid the personal responsibility by blaming someone else. That was what they did. Well, it's not my fault. Look at verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, "Then the man gave to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" So what you've got in those two verses is God's like, what are you doing? And Adam said, it's her fault. It's Eve's fault. That woman that you gave me. See, not only was Adam blaming Eve, Adam was also blaming God. Did you pick that up? That woman that you gave me. So it's her fault and it's God's fault because God gave Adam the woman. So he's trying to shift blame away from himself onto Eve as well as God. It's not my fault. If it wouldn't have been for her, I wouldn't have been there. That woman you gave me is the one who tempted me. Just picture as Adam said that, God's looking at him and then he goes, that woman that you gave me, he's pointing over to her, and then God looks over at Eve. And then Eve even goes on and blames God. Look at verse 13. It says, "And the Lord God said to the woman," this is verse 13, "what is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I." It's not my fault. It was the serpent's fault. He deceived me and I. So it's not my fault. I don't need to take personal responsibility for this. You need to go after him. You need to talk to him. Yet, what did Adam say? Adam said, "Not my fault, God. It's that woman's fault. And by the way, it's your fault too, because if you hadn't put her in my life, I wouldn't be here today." How many times do we try to shift the blame of our... When doing counseling, one of the biggest things that I've always said to people that sit around my little table in my office is, I said, if I can get you to own your piece of the problem, then we've got something we can do. Never before has there been somebody who has sat around in a counseling situation that has been 100% perfect. We all have our own problems. We all have our own issues, and we all contribute to whatever the circumstance is or whatever it may be. But if you will own your mistakes, if you will own up to the things that you have done wrong, if you will fess up to the Lord the things that he has put on your heart, he will grant you forgiveness and he can grant you peace in your life. For your dilemmas, stop trying to say, "Well, it's the boss's fault. Well, it's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. What's the kid's fault? It's the preacher's fault. It's the Sunday school teacher's fault. It's everybody else's fault but your own." Find where you are at fault in the dilemma and own that part of it. Now, I've said before, I don't tell people to own any part of anything that they shouldn't. But I am saying that you do need to own the parts that you should, because then the Lord can deal with it. He's going to deal with other people in their circumstances and situations. But what about you? Let's look at you today for just a moment. What is your part of the situation that God is trying to... What is the thing that's putting you in time out with God? What is the thing that's broken that fellowship? Are you trying to cover it up? Are you trying to hide from God? Or are you trying to blame other people for what is taking place in your life? You know, shifting guilt to another person is not going to remove that circumstance from your life. It didn't change the factor. When Adam said it was that woman, that didn't change the fact that he had disobeyed God and partaken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge. When he blamed God, that didn't change the fact that Adam was disobedient. Okay? When Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent, that still didn't change the fact that they did what they were not supposed to do. It did not change the situation. Okay? So shifting guilt to another person is not going to remove the issue, the dilemma that God is trying to deal with you in your life about. You know, each and every one of us are individually responsible before God for our actions, regardless of the circumstances or who else may be involved. You will stand face to face with God someday. You will answer for the things that you have done. And you can't sit back and say, "Well, Lord, it was so-and-so's fault. It was his fault." We are dealing mano a mano right now. This is me and you. You didn't have to do those things. You could have stood strong and stood firm in the Word. You could have listened to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to be able to blame everybody else for your downfalls, for your sins, and for your dilemmas. So God says, it is time today for you to understand and fess up to what it is that you have done wrong. It is time for you to fess up. It's time for you to stop hiding. It's time for you to stop blaming people. It is time for you and me to look eye to eye and deal with whatever that circumstance and whatever that situation is in your individual life today, because you and you alone will be responsible to Almighty God for your actions, regardless of who else may be involved in that situation. Now, despite Adam and Eve's sin and their evasive ways of handling this particular dilemma that went on, the Lord did come to them. Look at verse 9. I want you to take you back to verse 9. It says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" God did not leave Adam and Eve to just roam around in their sin. He didn't turn his back on them. Remember what I said a moment ago. We need to reach out to those that are in those dilemmas. We need to be there to encourage them on the road to repentance as they've repented, as they've sought God, as they're coming back to him. We're to be there to assist them and to help them. God didn't just say, "Oh, you guys messed up. I'm turning my back on. When you get your act together, you can come back. That's not what God did. God actively sought them. And he, you know, look at it. Look at it once again. It says in verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? God knew exactly where they were. Now, remember when we started our broadcast this morning, the thing that I asked you is I said, let Dr. Cazito know where you are. A lot of you all said, well, I'm in Oak Ridge, I'm in Greensboro, I'm in West Virginia, I'm in Cuba, I'm in Georgia, I'm in all kinds of different places. But now I'm asking you in the same way before that I said, let Dr. Cazito know where you are. That was physically. Now I'm asking you this, and I'm not going to ask you to respond on this thread. But what I am asking you to do is I'm asking you, where are you spiritually? Are you trying to cover up? Are you trying to hide from God? Are you trying to blame others in the midst of your dilemma? And God knows exactly where you are right now in the midst of your dilemma. And he is seeking you. He is seeking you that you might repent and come back into fellowship with him. Would you do that today? Could you reach out to the Father in the manner in which he is reaching out to you? Okay? Yeah, our sin is never large enough to keep him away. You know, no matter what you've done. Some people say, well, you just don't understand what I've done. I don't care what you've done. God is coming after you. It's not going to keep him away. Yeah. Our Father still calls and he is still asking, where are you? And you're like, where are you? Yeah. Are you hiding from him? It's time today to come out of the bushes. It's time to fess up and it is time to make things right with him. Why you've done it. But he questions us so that we, you and I, can come to realize the desperate state that we're in. Now, I want to say this before I close up this morning. You and I can never let guilt or shame keep us from God. And that's what happens. Satan wants you to run so far. He says, oh, God doesn't want you in his presence. He is holy and you're not. Well, that's true. But the thing about it is God also desires us to have that walk and to have that relationship with him. So you and I can never let the guilt that we're carrying over that sin or that shame keep us from God. Yeah, that's what Adam and Eve were trying there in the beginning. See, he is continually seeking those who have made a mess out of their lives, and he is speaking that his word and his spirit and his people might be in a right relationship and in a right walk with him. You know, forgiveness and restoration is what God wants. That's what he is seeking. That is what he's striving. That's why he's asking the question, where are you? What are you doing? Remember, he asked, one of his prophets that when he was running. Remember Elijah, did this great thing at Mount Carmel. Then he's running. He's up in a cave. And he asked him, what are you doing here? Why are you here? What are you doing? It was that same question for you and I. He is waiting. He is listening for your answer. He wants you to respond with confession and repentance, that your relationship may be restored wholly and rightfully with him. Could you do that today? First of all, I ask if you have a walk with the Lord. You see, having a relationship with God's not about attending worship services or how many things that you do. It's about having a personal relationship with him. Do you have that? Has that been that time when you've asked the Lord to forgive your sins and you've given your life over to him? You have become a slave to him. If not, and that's what he's convicting your heart about today, just simply where you are, just bow your head and say, forgive my sins, save my soul, in Jesus' name. And listen, he'll do that. If you prayed that prayer, then I can make you the promise. As you cried out to God with your heart, not just from your lips, but with your heart, then he has saved your soul. He has recorded your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he wants you to learn, to walk with him through his word. So listen, if that was you today, please do us a favor. Respond to Dr. Cazito. Find us on a website. Call us at the church. We want to be able to get you some material that will help you in your walk with the Lord, some discipleship material. Listen, don't let old terms scare you. Walking with the Lord is an incredibly exciting adventure, okay? Just let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to get you some information. Listen, maybe you're here today and the fig leaves trying to blame somebody else for your dilemmas, your circumstances, and your issues. And today, he has called you on the carpet. What are you going to do about that? Yeah, if that's you today, then I just simply ask you where you are just to pray. Say, Lord, today I hear you. Today I see you. Lord, today I confess. Lord, I repent. I'm coming back to you. Lord, help me to not allow Satan to use guilt and shame in my life to keep me away from you. Lord, you are going to forgive me wholly, truly, 100%. I no longer have to feel guilty or ashamed of past sins. Lord, I'm not going to allow Satan to keep the joy you intend for your children out of my life. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you did that, then I can make you a promise as well. The burdens are lifting off of you as we speak. You can feel that. Yes, again, he's going to try to put that guilt and shame of whatever your circumstance is. He's going to try to put that back on you. And when he does, what you need to say is, get thee behind me, Satan. God is faithful and just and true, and he has forgiven me completely. And though my sins were as scarlet, he has washed them white as snow. Amen. Isn't that great? That's a great word for the day. And I pray that God has drawn you closer to him because we've had the chance to be in his word today. Just a moment, I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. I want to mention just again a couple of announcements that are important. So don't turn me off just yet. Just a couple quick important things. What we're doing as far as Awana goes, Awana, we're going to finish out this month. We're going to start Awana back February the 6th, okay? Just because we also have some supposed impending. We'll start back February the 6th. That will be when we're coming out of break. I know it sounds like a long time, you know, coming out of Christmas break, but February 6th for Awana. Also, we were supposed to have church conference last week. We pushed it to this week, but since we're not having services, we're going to push it out yet another week. So our January church conference or business meeting will be next Sunday evening after our evening worship service. Before we go, we also want us to remember the McDonald family. Most of you have heard, but Jimmy McDonald lost his father this past week. Even though it's our loss, it's heaven's gain, that doesn't mean that we don't sorrow. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt right along with Jimmy and his family. So please lift up the McDonald family. They're having private family services this week. And then there'll be a memorial service later on. So please respect the family's privacy, but do lift them. Remember those with COVID. Actually, we've had more COVID cases around people in our church, not in the church, but people from the church. We've had more cases in the past month than we've had throughout this whole pandemic. So we want to continue to lift up those that are battling COVID and pray that the Lord keeps us healthy and safe. All right, before I close in prayer, just a quick reminder that we do have some birthdays this week. All of them that we have fall on Thursday. So this coming Thursday, Alyssa Nelson, happy birthday. Deborah Ross, happy birthday. Joy Pickard, happy birthday. If you're a card sender, send them a card, send them a text, let them know that you love them and that you're going to be celebrating right along with them. Okay? Listen, I pray that you have a great day. Let's pray together as we close out our service this morning. Thankful that you don't just turn your back on us, Lord, that when we get caught up in the dilemmas of life, when we get caught up in sin, that you convict our heart and you want us to come back to you. Lord, I pray that we have heard your voice today loudly and clearly, that we have returned to you. Father, that the burdens even now are beginning to lift. Father, help us to stop trying to cover up our sin. Lord, help us to stop trying to avoid you and to listen to what you have to say. And Father, help us to just run into your presence in the midst of our situations, in the midst of our dilemmas. Lord, I pray that today will be a brand new walk for those who have for so long carried that burden that you have been convicting them over. Lord, give them peace as only you can. Give us a great day. Father, if we come in contact with people, may we truly be a blessing to them, pleasing to you. Help us to learn from Adam and Eve's situation, as though we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen, I pray that you will have a great rest of your day. Stay warm, stay safe, stay tuned. We'll keep you posted with what's going on in and around the church as best we can. I love you. Have a great day.